Martial. Argentina, champions of the world!
It's time for our special USA pre-match edition of Atlanta Soccer Tonight with Jason Longshore. Tune in as Jason gets you ready for the U.S. versus Turkey A match live from the Harvey and Chamblee.
Presented by Ford. Visit your local Ford dealer. And brought to you by Michelob Ultra, official beer sponsor of FIFA World Cup 26.
Our pre-match edition of Atlanta Soccer Tonight is on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. Now, here's Jason Longshore.
Let's kick it. Atlanta Soccer Tonight, live here in Chamblee at the Harvey. We're going to be here for 2 hours getting you ready for the U.S. men's national team and Turkey. That kickoff is at 10 o'clock. Yes, the result doesn't matter for either team. The U.S. has already won the group. Turkey is out of the tournament. But there are a lot of things that we could learn about this team tonight. We'll get into some of those as we go. We'll get you caught up on the tournament as a whole. But if you're in the vicinity or you can get here quickly, you might want to, because Michelob Ultra wants to send you to the round of 16 match here in Atlanta. Tickets to the match are available if you can get here and win the contest. You've got pretty much to the end of this segment to do that. So if you're driving down 85 and you can turn this way, do it. If you're on Buford Highway, come on over to the Harvey in Chamblee and get into that contest if you want to try to win round of 16 tickets, which, I don't know, could be Argentina, possibly. We're going to have a rotating central midfield today on AST. Yes, that is Madison Cruz, who is giggling.
I like that. That was nice. I wasn't expecting that one.
We have midfield rotation, just like Mauricio Pochettino is probably going to rotate his midfield today. We'll see what the lineup is in a little bit. We know Tyler Adams won't be playing because he's on yellow card accumulation. I mean, it's a weird situation, Maddie, and the U.S. has never been in this, where you have a chance to win all three games in a group stage. That's never happened for the United States. You've never gone into game three with nothing on the line. You've never been here. What do you try to get out of this tonight?
I mean, for me, I think it's momentum. I think you want to continue and carry on really positive momentum before you head into the round of 32. I think that's the biggest thing. I mean, yes, it's a matchup that doesn't matter in the standpoint of the standings, because you already have clinched, you're already moving on into the round of 32, you already are the first place team in the group as well. But it's an opportunity to build momentum, and I think especially in a tournament like this, when momentum really, when you are striking hot, you want to keep that going, because in a tournament like this, that's going to help you, I think, 9 times out of 10. And so I think for the U.S. tonight, continue to build the positive momentum, especially moving ahead, getting ready for the knockout rounds.
Yeah, it's so interesting. I mean, we have these conversations about who U.S. soccer is and what is expected of U.S. soccer. We do this all the time, and I feel like at times reality and expectations don't match up. Mm-hmm. Here's some reality. The U.S. has won back-to-back games at a World Cup for the first time since 1930, the first World Cup ever. Mm-hmm. It's only the third time in history that they've won two games in a single World Cup. They have never won three games in a World Cup. They have the possibility of doing that tonight. So with Mauricio Pochettino, we know that he has to be thinking ahead because he's a smart guy. But you have to find that balance of maintaining the momentum that you've built over two games, where you've conceded one goal, you've scored a lot, and this team has been one of the most difficult teams to play against because of that pressure high up the field.
And I mean, I think it obviously with a lot of those players that you will be missing, Fuller and Balogun is one of them, Tyler Adams, you mentioned it too, Chris Richards, and then Anthony Robinson. Yeah. I think all of those guys are a big, big factor to that. And you know, I think Mauricio Pochettino has talked to the media this week leading into this game that more than likely they will not be in this game. They will be seated. Yeah. They will be out, just from the standpoint
don't
of yellow card.
Don't even hand them a jersey.
No, do not even – don't let them even put on their cleats. Just let them hang, chill, watch the match, you know, all of the above. Be supportive and away from the entirety of the game. But I think for me, especially with that pressure up top, I mean, it creates so much disruption, especially for opponents, because you're not expecting it. You're not expecting every single moment to just be like a track match. And that's what the U.S. is doing. They're putting on the pressure early on, and they're keeping things going, and it's making it really difficult. And especially in those moments, and we talk about field positioning a lot, something you've talked about. Mm-hmm. When you apply that much pressure, especially when you're higher up in the field in your attacking half, that's more likely to lead to turnovers, which is what happens a lot, especially in the last two games we've seen for the U.S. That's led to really good goal-scoring opportunities. It's led to some of the goals that we've seen as well for the U.S. So you want to keep that pressure up, and that's not going to stop tonight just because you don't have Valerian Balogun up top too. Every other player that is on that bench knows exactly what Mauricio Pochettino wants to see from his side. It doesn't matter the personnel. It is always going to be the same.
If you're new to a World Cup and some of the yellow card accumulation rules, two yellow cards in the group stage means you miss the round of 32 match. There's another reset on yellow cards, I think, when you get to the quarterfinal. So you have to be careful with those four guys that we've talked about, Richards, Robinson, Adams, Balogun. I don't think they're even going to be on the bench tonight. So the other issue is Christian Roldan. He is kind of the most natural replacement for Tyler Adams as that six. He's been dealing with a muscle strain. So who do you play there? Is it Sebastian Berhalter as one of the deep-lying midfielders? I would assume so. But who is with him? Do you play it safe and go with somebody like a Weston McKennie or a Malik Tillman, who have both been good in that role? Or do you look at somebody that Pochettino talked about this? He believes that Reyna can play in that deeper role. Do you give it a look tonight in a game that, if it doesn't work out, it doesn't hurt you?
I think so. I think especially for Gio Reyna. I think he could be someone that you're looking at. I think maybe to fill that spot, maybe for a Weston McKennie, if you wanted to maybe sit him for a little bit, especially with the performances we've seen from him. You look back at that first game against Paraguay. I think it's an opportunity to get him hot, get him some more momentum, because, again, he could be someone that you rely on, especially maybe coming off the bench in a knockout round. If he can get hot and he can be that super sub that you want him to be and he can be the one that can win you a game, yeah, I'm fine with that. I want him to get some minutes tonight. And I think maybe Sebastian Berhalter maybe can be that natural spot to maybe sit a little bit further back. We've seen him do it a couple times with Vancouver as well in MLS. It wouldn't shock me if maybe he's more in that role, kind of where Tyler Adams normally sits in the midfield.
Christian Pulisic is the other big question. He hasn't played since the first 45 minutes of the tournament. Calf injury, missed the last match entirely. If he doesn't play tonight, it'll be 19 days between appearances. Now, Pochettino talked about it. There's a chance he plays. I don't know if Mauricio Pochettino is doing the Jesse Marsh okey-doke and pulling a decoy move.
Oh, no, I don't think so.
I don't think so either. I don't think Poch rolls that way. Pulisic said he's feeling good. He wants to play. Can he play 30 minutes? Can he play 15 minutes? Does it matter if he gets a little bit of time? I kind of think it does. I want him to get on the field if he's good enough to do that and there's no risk of further injury, because I think it can help him be sharp for the game you need him, which is round of 32.
I agree. You need him to be sharp, especially for a player like Christian Pulisic. There's a reason we call him Captain America for a reason, especially for this U.S. side. I mean, you look at that matchup against Paraguay in those 45 minutes. A lot of people were talking about, I think maybe you saw a little bit in the second 45 of that Paraguay match, you kind of lost that a little bit. I don't think you did, but I think Christian Pulisic does bring that factor that you need for the U.S. I mean, everything can go through him. He can play as that number nine. He can be that back and forth with Balogun as well, but he also can sit back and help build up some of the play. I think for someone as focal as Christian Pulisic, you need to get him some minutes, whether it's 30 minutes when he subs into the game later on, or maybe he starts and only does 45. You need to get him some minutes. You want him to get his feet wet a little bit, especially after not playing for 18 days. You want him to get those minutes, get valuable minutes, especially in a game. And also, too, in a game, again, that doesn't necessarily matter, especially when it comes to the standings and everything else, because you've already clinched.
Let's leave the goalkeepers out of the conversation, but these guys have not played at all in this tournament. Brendan Aaronson, Max Arfston, Mark McKenzie, Miles Robinson, Christian Roldan, and Alex Zendejas. Who of that group is the most important that you might need to turn to at some point in the knockout rounds?
That's a really good question, actually. Honestly, I might give you two or three.
Yeah, that's
fine. I'll tell you why.
I think you need to play all of them tonight.
Yeah, I think I agree with you. I think maybe the two, especially when it looks maybe in the back, more or less. I'll give you one. I think Max Arfston, I think, can be one, especially if the situation arises, maybe with yellow cards or whatever. He can be someone I think they can give you a lot of width, especially on the wings, with what we've seen from him from Columbus Crew. He's fast. He's quick. He can get into those spots. He can be a delivery service, especially in the 18. And I wouldn't mind, especially maybe later on in a match, you need him to come in a pinch to try to find something. Yeah. Maybe he can get involved in the attack. I'll give another one. Alejandro Zendejas, I think, is a big one, especially for his speed, what he can bring to you off the bench, especially with this time in Club America, what he's been able to do there. he's someone that can be kind of a surprise factor for some teams because you haven't seen him. He can be someone coming off the bench and, again, be that spark plug. I think he can be somebody else that can jump on in and can help you get some goals, especially in a tournament where you need that, especially in a knockout game. You need someone who can come in and be that spark plug for this team when maybe things aren't going the way you want it to. You need someone like that. I think Zendejas can be that guy.
Yeah, I think with Anthony Robinson out, Arston is a safe bet on the left side. I think with Richards out, McKenzie or Miles Robinson is a safe bet.
I would think
in the
it'd be Miles, maybe.
I don't know. Remember, Miles had a rough time in the two friendlies ahead of the tournament, and that might have dropped him back. I would lean to McKenzie.
I would, too.
But we'll see.
Just from what we've seen, though, especially with the way Mauricio Pochettino has, I think, set up, especially in those friendlies, we've seen Miles take that spot, especially without Chris Richards. So, for me, I'm thinking it's going to be Miles and then maybe Mark McKenzie as well. I think right now it might be better to be Mark McKenzie, but I think just with the way and decision-making from what we've seen from Mauricio Pochettino, I think it might be Miles.
I don't know. I'm going to go the other way because I think that changed a little bit. We saw McKenzie in the first half of game one.
Yeah.
Miles came in the second half, was involved in giving up a goal.
Yeah.
In the second game, it was flipped. We saw Miles from the start, was involved in giving up the opening goal to Germany. So I think I'd rather see McKenzie there, but you want to get Miles some minutes because, you never know. And this is the thing, and this is the really hard part of management in a World Cup. Mm-hmm. You're going to get at some point into, hopefully for the U.S., a long run.
Yeah.
Round of 32, round of 16, maybe a quarterfinal, maybe beyond, where there's going to be an injury, there's going to be a red card, there's going to be something where you're going to have to turn to somebody unexpectedly. This is a game where you can get Aaronson, Arfston, McKenzie, Miles Robinson, maybe Christian Roldan if he's healthy, and Alex Zendejas, their first minutes in this tournament. And you can get Haji Wright more minutes because he barely got any.
Yes. Haji Wright is another one that I would look for to get a lot of minutes tonight. I think he's someone that, I mean, it's again the same conversation. In a World Cup, whenever you are in the knockout, you never know what's going to happen. You never know who you're going to rely on. You never know who's going to be the breakthrough, who's going to come through, and who's going to save you in a moment, too. Haji Wright can be that guy as well, and especially for someone like him and for Alejandro Zendejas, especially up top. I'm going to put Ricardo Pepi in that mix, too, as well, especially maybe you're not getting some things from Balogun. Maybe it's kind of stale. You want to maybe try something new in the second. I think any of those three guys, getting them some crucial minutes tonight and getting them more involved, that's going to help in the long run.
All right, we're going to end with this in this segment. Who, in your opinion, is important to play today for stability for this team and for the identity that Pochettino has created with this group?
I'm going to give you one that I don't think many people will think. I'm going to say Alex Freeman.
Okay.
I think because of the way this structure has worked, we talked about it so many times with Alex Freeman and how crucial he is, I think, to the setup of everything. I think for me, I think you want to keep him in because I think he's that anchoring point. He can be that person that can step up. He can come back. He can sit back too, help defensively. Mm-hmm. But also, I think just from the experience, he's played almost every minute of these matches that we've seen. And it's a part of me is thinking, I kind of want to rest him. But I also think, especially for momentum, I kind of want to keep him in because he has been playing so well. And I think he'll continue to play well even if he doesn't play today either. But I think for the stability and the way this team functions, I think I want him in there because he knows what needs to be done, especially maybe if you have somebody else starting on that side that isn't a Dest, that isn't a Anthony Robinson either. Maybe you have someone like an Alex Freeman who can help in that situation and kind of piece those things together.
You could play Joe Scally out wide on the right in place of Dest if you want to go in that direction. And then give Freeman the last 30 minutes off and move Scally into that role.
For sure.
Scally's been the hybrid center back, fullback kind of role. That's how Pochettino has used him. So maybe he gets that time tonight. We'll see. Lineup should be coming out in the very near future. We might get it here in a couple of segments. We'll get you back on here in a little bit to talk more U.S. men's national team. But on the other side of the break, Jarrett Smith back on 92.9 The Game.
Oh,
we're
going
to get caught up on everything going on around this tournament. Ecuador shocked everybody today. Scotland has made everybody sad. Japan is trying to get a win here against Sweden. Sweden's trying to ensure that they get to the knockout. South Africa shocked everybody. All the things have been happening in this World Cup, and we will continue to talk about it on AST on 92.9 The Game and the Odyssey app.
USA v versus Turkey match.
It's our special edition of Atlanta Soccer Tonight with Jason Longshore.
Presented by Ford. Visit your local Ford dealer. And brought to you by Michelob Ultra, official beer sponsor of FIFA World Cup 26.
On Sports Radio 92.9, The Game.
Welcome back. It's Atlanta Soccer Tonight, live at the Harvey in Chamblee. Getting ready for the United States men's national team against Turkey. We're also keeping an eye on all the other games happening right now, and we've had another slight shift in the games that are just going on. The Netherlands added a third against Tunisia, so now they have a goal differential advantage on Japan, who has the lead on Sweden. Whoever comes out on top of the group gets a little bit easier pathway. Whoever goes into second has a little bit more difficult pathway. Sweden then is on the borderline of things going badly for them and not making it out as a third place team. All the things that we have to talk and get calculators out on. So I brought Jarrett Smith in to help me do math. What's
Why?
Up, Jarrett? I don't know. I just needed something to introduce you. That's all.
That's not going to work.
Yeah,
math, I mean.
We'll have to get somebody smarter than the two of us with math. Let's talk about something we don't need math on, Ecuador. They, in this tournament, had been very good but could not score a goal. Sebastian Bekasese was under a lot of fire back home because this was an Ecuador team that came into the tournament with expectations. They ran into Aloy Room in game two. He had 15 saves. And they give up an early goal to Germany today, and it looks like that's curtains. It wasn't. And Bekasese made a very bold move to pull Inter Valencia in the second half, brings on Kevin Rodriguez. He knocks it down to Gonzalo Plata, who puts it home. And Ecuador beats Germany to book their spot into the next round as a third-place team. What a story for Ecuador.
It has been such an up-and-down story, Jason, this entire tournament for them. Like you talked about, like you have the opening game, which is this – back and forth chaotic affair that you lose late, then you get the draw where it feels like they put over 30 shots, not on target, but 30 shots and forced 15 saves from Eloy Room, Columbus Crew legend Eloy Room.
Yes, this is true.
MLS Cup champion Eloy Room.
CONCACAF legend Eloy Room.
CONCACAF legend Eloy Room. But then you come into today and you had to have something. Like it was you need to get something or you're going home situation. You fall behind, man. We talk so much about having that heart, having that grit to come back against this German side. And you know, Germany doesn't need to win this game, but that doesn't mean they're just going to quit. And Ecuador is able to just show up and fight and make it happen. And The scenes are great. If you haven't seen them yet, it's Sebastian Bekasese jumping into the stands, basically, trying to climb into the stands as much as he can. And for a guy who's been under so much pressure from the Ecuadorian media to pull this off, it's a really fun story. And, Jason, it potentially sets up a fun and chaotic game in the first round of eliminations for them.
Right now, Ecuador would come to Atlanta to play England wins their group. And one, Sebastian Bekasese, I think, is one of the more interesting managers in the tournament, and not just because once on an Argentine League broadcast when he was managing Defensa Justicia, the commentator kept calling him Kurt Cobain. He kind of looks like Kurt Cobain. It's accurate.
He does. He has a little. He also has that kind of unpredictable attitude about him on the touchline.
Yep.
He is a product of the Argentine coaching trees that you would expect, including Marcelo Bielsa.
Yep.
So he has that sort of edge, and it works. And look, it's been such an up and down thing for them because Ecuador going through qualifying was doing so well. Like they were getting results. It wasn't always like they were blowing people out, but you keep in a clean sheet, you're getting through that CONMEBOL qualifier that we talk about so much. It's being so brutal and just so exhausting to do.
Yeah, remember, Ecuador broke some rules in terms of, I think, a naturalization situation, and they had a penalty in terms of points in CONMEBOL World Cup qualifying, and they still were one of the top teams.
Yeah, I mean, they were fantastic into this qualifying. Struggled those first two games, but look, it is about showing up in a tournament situation. I think we've seen it with Mexico as well, where they were kind of slow on the start at times. Mexico were, where the first game where, yeah, they get the win, but it wasn't as convincing, I think, as I expected it to be, mm-hmm. at least.
Yep.
And then, you know, second game, similar, and then it really felt like they came alive in the third game. And, look, sometimes it's about getting hot, and it's about being the hottest team at the right time. And that can be a big thing, and this is something Ecuador can use to build on going into a knockout game because of the way they defend and the veteran presence on that team. I will put a dollar in the jar for that, but they have veteran presence on that team that you can lean on in a knockout game, and it's the kind of thing where you don't really want to see them in a knockout game, in my opinion, even if you are England, who still has some questions to answer right now.
Okay, I've got to bring this up now. I was going to save it for the back end of the segment, but okay. U.S. Soccer just shared the team going into the locker room, and they used the caption, "The Place We Belong." Country Roads has taken the World Cup by storm. Nobody saw this coming. Cabo Verde and Country Roads are the two surprise stories of this World Cup. It's actually been really cool. Like, it has worked. We've been in the stadium where there's been these sing-alongs of Country Roads, and it's kind of an amazing moment.
It has been, but isn't that the fun part of the World Cup, in that you can make all the plans in the world and your plans don't really matter because the things that you expect to happen don't happen. You're going to have some random song become legend outside of your country that to you is something that, it's a fun song. We all know it. We all enjoy singing it. If you go burn couches up in Morgantown, you know it well. However, seeing people from outside your country embrace it, seeing these random smaller countries, yeah. If I give you $5, if I walked around here and gave $5 to people, who can find it on a map? Cabo Verde?
You might give up $10.
That's the point.
Maybe.
It's so much fun.
That's what's great about this tournament. But the music thing has actually been really interesting. Spotify said there's been a 74% spike in streams of Country Roads immediately after that first U.S. game. Because that's where it kind of happened and caught a lot. But now it, at least here in Atlanta, it has been the second half at the end of the hydration break song. And last night, with the Haitian percussion going and Country Roads being sung, and they stop it because the song's longer than the hydration break, they stop it and people keep singing it as the game is getting restarted. It's just one of those moments that has become an American soccer thing that nobody saw coming. FIFA's World Cup Chief Strategy Officer, Amy Hopfinger, who worked for U.S. Soccer before that, it was her idea to play it when they did. And she has been responsible for this. And thank you.
It's one of those things that you can't predict sometimes. And those moments where it is a random idea that sticks, and just even if you're planting it thinking, hey, we're going to try something, but then it gathers momentum. It becomes a more organic growth, because you can plant it all you want, but if it continues to grow, those are the moments that I think are going to be fun that we can look back on when we think about just the group stage. Because let's break the entire tournament up into different stages. I mean, we'll do the group stages, then of course we'll get into the knockout rounds. But as far as the group stages go, this will be something I think back about and just kind of have fun with, you know?
I will remember this tournament with that song. I thought I was going to remember this tournament with 500 Miles by the Proclaimers. But
they did their part, and so did the Tartan Army.
The Tartan Army did. The Proclaimers did.
They drank two cities dry.
Yes. Steve Clark and some players maybe didn't. It's looking more and more like Scotland's not going to make it out of the group stage into the knockout round. Just your thoughts.
You make your own luck at times, yeah. And how you go about this, whether you want to go out swinging or not. Look, Scotland left. They were always in a tricky situation in that they were in an early group. And then once that third game was played, they had to sit and wait. Mm-hmm. And they put themselves in a tough situation with that performance yesterday with Brazil. Now they need, like, six results to go their way. They're probably not going to go their way.
Yeah.
And it stinks because they have been, I think, culturally one of the fun things for a lot of people is seeing the Tartan Army, yep. like, take over Boston, then take over Miami and hang out with Brazil. It's one of those fun things, but as with all tournaments, this isn't the first time, and it will not be the last time. The things we love and those little cultural moments and those things we embrace, they don't last forever. Everyone has to go home at some point until there is only one remaining.
We're still on course right now with the results we currently have. The Netherlands 3-1 up on Tunisia. Sweden has leveled it with Japan. They're 1-1 in that game. Sweden, I swear, is the most schizophrenic team in this tournament. 5-1 win, 5-1 loss, 1-1 draw right now with a team who's been great in Japan. Right now, Scotland is still in, and right now, they would head to Mexico City to take on Mexico. I want to ask you this as we get close to the end of this segment.
That might be a pilgrimage.
It'd be amazing. But Mexico, the United States, both have won their group. Sorry, Canada, you didn't get it done. You had a chance, you failed. Mexico and the United States, who has been the more impressive host team for you?
I think it's been the United States and what they've done in the first game against, again, misery is a choice. To understand that Paraguay was a very good team in qualifying and a defensively tough team, and you went, and yes, they had to come into your house. Well, teams had to go to Canada's house, and look what happened. Paraguay had to come into your house, and you threw them out of that house aggressively for 90 minutes. Then you managed a game against a very prickly and difficult Australia team. So when I say the United States, Jason, I don't mean that as a criticism of Mexico because, as I mentioned a minute ago, I'm very impressed with the way Mexico has grown into this tournament. Where, yes, you win the first game. It's weird. There's three red cards. We got very CONCACAF-y to start the tournament.
South Africa was really defensive in that game, too. I did not like their setup at all.
No, I didn't either. But I loved the fact that we got a little CONCACAF early on. It made me feel like we were home. but the way Mexico has grown into this tournament in confidence and the way they're playing and the way they attacked that game, also, like, as someone who's been watching these tournaments for years, the Memo Ochoa moment.
That was awesome.
Man.
That was so cool.
They're, you know, someone's cutting onions in the room.
Yep.
The man feels like he, if you told me he started in 1930, I would probably believe you. But that was such a cool moment. And then the way they took care of business, Jason. We talk about being professional in games. They had a 2-0 lead. They go get that third goal, and it's an exclamation point to end their group stage and to announce themselves for the knockout rounds.
Mexico, again, right now they would see Scotland, and then you would be looking at the winner of the round of 32 game here. I've said it since the draw came out. England at Mexico at the Estadio Azteca in the round of 16 is a life-changing moment for everybody in the world.
Jason, what happened when England went to the Azteca about 40 years ago?
You know, it's funny. We're actually right around that date.
Right around the 40th anniversary.
Yeah, we're really close to it because we were right on. No, it was Monday. We were right on it because when Argentina played, that was the 40th anniversary of that game, which is crazy, just the way history works. England at least wouldn't be playing on the anniversary of that, but they would have to play not Diego Maradona in Argentina. They would have to play Mexico at the Estadio Azteca. And hardly anybody beats Mexico at the Estadio Azteca.
It's such a – I mean, it is – we talk about elevation all the time. And in talking with former players, it's such a hard thing to explain that, like, it's not that you can't breathe. It's that it's the 60th minute. You try and breathe, and it's just like you're getting nothing in your lungs. When you take that deep breath, nothing happens. And it's going to be hot.
Yep.
It's going to be humid. It's going to be loud. It's going to be vulgar. Let's be honest.
Yep.
And – England is a team, as we're talking about the USA and Mexico, England is a team for me, Jason, that has something to prove.
They have had one good half in this tournament.
And I don't mean this to say, like, England is bad and England is going to fall apart. Like, look, England could come out here and put together 90 minutes of absolute domination in their third game.
Mm-hmm.
But they have to show me that.
Yeah.
And they haven't yet. And, like, they have to show me that they can handle getting punched in the mouth.
The second half of game one, they stood up. They could not find a way against Ghana. Maybe the witch doctors help, but we'll find out. We will see where that goes.
Do not doubt AFCON.
I don't doubt AFCON. I don't doubt CONCACAF. I definitely don't doubt CONMEBOL. Everybody had CONMEBOL down and out a little while ago.
I had CONMEBOL down and out a while ago.
Ecuador stepped up.
Messi was dragging not just Argentina, but the entire continent.
We will see Uruguay and Spain tomorrow. We'll talk about the games coming up later in the tournament. here in just a bit. We'll get into the U.S. Men's National Team lineup, all the things here at the Harvey in Chamblee, getting you ready for the United States and Turkey. A kickoff at 10. We'll take you all the way up to that on Atlanta Soccer tonight on 92.9 The Game and the Odyssey app.
USA versus Turkey A match. It's our special edition of Atlanta Soccer Tonight with Jason Longshore.
Presented by Ford. Visit your local Ford dealer. And brought to you by Michelob Ultra, official beer sponsor of FIFA World Cup 26.
Sports Radio 92.9, The Game.
Welcome back. It's Atlanta Soccer Tonight live at the Harvey in Chamblee. Emily Martinez is our World Cup ticket winner, thanks to our friends at Michelob Ultra. Awesome for Emily. Going to get to go to the round of 16 match here in Atlanta. It's looking like if Argentina wins their round of 32 that it would be Argentina against somebody in that match. We'll have to wait and see. The projections are crazy at the moment. We're bouncing around all over the place at the moment with games happening. The Netherlands are up 3-1 against Tunisia in the 82nd minute. Japan and Sweden are 1-1. The projected brackets are changing with every goal. This is what the World Cup gets like when you get into the third match day. The U.S. usually has stress. They don't tonight, but we do have a starting lineup, and I got Madison Cruz back up here to talk about it. We have Matt Turner in goal, and I'll go numerical first, and then we'll talk about how we expect it to break down. Austin Trusty, Gio Reyna, Weston McKennie, Ricardo Pepi, Brendan Aaronson, Miles Robinson, Sebastian Berhalter, Tim Weah, Mark McKenzie, and Joe Scally. That is your starting 11 for the U.S. So a change in goal, no huge shock there. You like to get your goalkeeper's time when you can. We think it will be a similar structure to what we've seen. The difference tonight would be really three true center backs with Trusty, with McKenzie, and with Miles Robinson as your three ordinary center backs.
Yeah, it's an interesting one because I'm curious then who's maybe going to fall into that position. Especially
you don't have another Freeman.
But, yeah, you don't. You don't have another Freeman there.
Scally is going to be one of your wing backs. I'm assuming on the left and Tim Weah on the right.
Yeah, no, that makes sense. I think it's – yeah, it's an interesting one. I think it's actually funny. We both were talking about who would replace in Miles or Mark McKenzie. We both kind of were right in this one. They both are getting the start here. I think especially with the true center backs, the three true center backs, I think it is solely because you want to get these guys minutes. You want to get them into the lineup. You want to make sure that they're getting those minutes too. Because I think initially I was thinking, especially in the standpoint of maybe keeping Tim Ream in, I think that was where my mind still was too. But honestly, yeah, getting all three of them in, I think especially in rounding things out there, you want to get them minutes. And also too, you want to make sure that's solid in the back line, make sure everything's good. And yeah, I think for me, especially for Joe Scally is kind of that hybrid like we talked about. I think you're going to see him maybe stretch that field a lot, getting higher up and then finding more of those moments to maybe sit back a little bit more too.
Well, I wonder if he actually moves in. Like, the hybrid role for me is Alex Freeman, and I think he's the only one who can really play it, where he's a center back but can also turn into a fullback.
Yeah, I completely agree.
You don't have McKenzie, Trusty, and Miles Robinson who can do that. So yeah. I think they'll all stay home. It'll look like a traditional three center back setup with Scally and Tim Weah as your wing backs. We know Weah likes to go forward a lot. He's more of a converted winger. I think he'll be high up on the right like we see Serginho Dest. Scally will be the replacement for Jedi Robinson and be on the left, maybe a little more staying at home. We know Ricardo Pepi's up top. Let's talk about the other group, the midfield, the box midfield, if it looks like it's the same structure that we've seen before. Sebastian Berhalter, Brendan Aaronson, Gio Reyna, and Weston McKennie, and Weston McKennie wearing the captain's armband tonight. That makes me think that it is Berhalter and McKennie as the backside of it, the holding midfielders, and Reyna and Brendan Aaronson as the attacking central midfielders.
I agree. I think looking at it, it makes the most sense, especially, again, for someone like Weston. We've seen Weston, I think, not only with his time with the U.S. Men's National Team, but also with the Juventus, too. He can play any of those positions and where you need him to. And also, again, with the way that this is set up, we get so caught up sometimes on where they have to be. You have to stay in this spot the entire time. You got to stay in the defensive midfield. You cannot move. That's not going to happen, especially under Mauricio Pochettino. There's going to be a lot of fluidity there, especially with someone like Weston McKennie. I think he's someone who can maybe stay a little bit back and help, especially defensively, but also can help in the build-up too. Weston McKennie is someone that you want him, if he's able to, and he can, you want him to get into those scoring positions for the U.S. men's national team.
He's your mixed midfielder, in
yes,
my opinion.
I agree.
I think Berhalter sits and does the Tyler Adams work of being connected to the three center backs. McKennie is sometimes with him and sometimes higher up the field. He's going to read the game and find it. Let's talk about Gio Reyna a little bit. So Reyna had a great cameo in game one, the goal that is one of the great goals of the tournament so far. How important of a game is this for Gio Reyna to show that he can be somebody, the chips are down in a knockout game, he can be trusted off the bench?
In this matchup, we talk about building momentum, I think, as a team. I think for Gio Reyna, it's about building momentum for him for the rest of the tournament, honestly.
Yeah, yeah.
I think for Gio Reyna, you get that goal against Paraguay. You make it 4-1. And that's such a huge, I think, weight lifted, especially with a lot of the outside noise and everything going forward. No, and I'll be honest, I was also one of them. I was a little bit concerned, especially with the amount of minutes he was getting with his club team, what it would look like. And he proved me wrong. He came out. I mean, the goal is absolutely spectacular. I want to see that continue. I want to see the Gio Reyna that we know we can see out there. He's someone, especially if he continues to build and get hot, yeah, I want him stepping in, and I want him to be that guy coming off the bench to save us in a knockout game, because I think he can. He has the ability to. And this matchup alone can be an opportunity for him to do that and to continue to build momentum for himself, build that confidence, and get some things going, because he can be that guy.
That's one of the most important things to keep in mind about tonight, and it's something that I feel like we're maybe the only ones that I'm hearing talking about this, because the U.S. has had two very good, comfortable wins. They haven't had to go to the bench from an offensive standpoint to go chase a game yet.
Yeah.
You know, in a World Cup that's going to happen. That's the nature of when you get into the knockout rounds and things are going against you and you have to try to rescue a result. So Gio Reyna, Brendan Aaronson as well, I think it's really important for both to get a start, for Aaronson to get his first minutes, because these are two guys that can bring quality and energy into a game when you need it. Now they get to show it from the start, and I think it's really important for both of them.
I think with the backing, too, of this side as well, you saw the reaction when Gio Reyna got the goal. I mean, from the entire bench. You saw it from the coaching staff. You saw the energy that it gave. I think with this side, you see all these guys. I mean, they are backing each other no matter what.
Yep.
And that's what you want to see. And I think in this matchup alone, it's about building momentum not only individually, but also as a group and a collective. And especially these guys getting the opportunity to get some quality minutes and get some opportunities before that knockout game. It's a big moment. It's a big moment in a matchup. Again, I think in the point of the standings may not matter, especially since you're already secured, but it does matter, especially when it comes to building momentum, not only individually, but also as a team and a collective.
It's Atlanta Soccer Tonight. We're live at the Harvey in Chamblee. You still have time to get over here, about an hour and 10 minutes before kickoff. USA and Turkey. Yeah, everything's decided for both teams in the World Cup, but you're going to have a lot of potential lessons that you take away from tonight.
Yeah, I mean, you also got a big one, too, in Paraguay and Australia. They're still competing
yep.
there. That one, too. That one's kicking off at the same time.
Australia has the advantage there. They can draw and finish second in the group. Paraguay would go through as a third-place team with 4 points. So it's a game where both teams would benefit from a draw. Paraguay, it really decides for them how aggressive do you want to be to try to get second place. I don't know. We're going to find out. Gustavo Alfaro will probably complain about it no matter what happens, because he is on the all-complainers team in this World Cup. It's becoming a squad of 11. We're getting there. Marcelo Bielsa's on it.
Yep.
Gustavo Alfaro's on
yeah.
it. There's a few others that are getting into this
what,
list.
You're not going to mention Steve Clark? Or?
Nah, he hasn't really been complaining. He just kind of like acted like a spoiled child last night after his team didn't get the job done, and he didn't want to talk to anybody.
Yeah, no, I mean, it's fair. The list is getting really long, and I don't want it to get longer, but I think that's just going to continue to get longer, and it's just going to happen.
It will. It will definitely continue to get longer. That's what we get into with a World Cup, that we're just over the halfway mark of this tournament. It's crazy how much is still to come. We still have a bunch of groups that have to play their third game. We're going to talk about that later in the show, what to watch for tomorrow, what to watch for Saturday. We have one of the last group stage matches here in Atlanta with DR Congo and Uzbekistan.
Big one.
A lot on the line for both of those teams. to get into the knockout, and a lot on the line that could affect a team like Scotland that has been done since yesterday that maybe gets in because of a result that happens in Atlanta on Saturday. That's the nature of this 48-team tournament. So for the U.S. with Turkey, Weston McKennie gets the start. He is the only one to start all three games. Ricardo Pepi started the last game, so nine changes with this group. The goalkeeper one, don't even try to open up a conversation about that. It's Matt Freese who is your starter when the games matter. Matt Turner, you get in minutes here just in case, because you never know when just in case happens in a World Cup.
Yep.
I want to go back to Sebastian Burhalter, because he's somebody that we have seen consistently come off the bench in this tournament. First game because of injury with Christian Pulisic, but we saw him come off the bench and play a lot of minutes in game two. He was a player that was in the stands at the last World Cup watching it, watching his dad coach this team. He is now maybe the most important player outside of the usual starting 11 for this team because he can play any of the roles in that midfield. Tonight he'll be more defensive. What do you want to see from him?
For Sebastian Burhalter, even watching him with Vancouver, one word that I feel like I always comes to mind whenever I see him play is just solid. I think he's always just that performer. You know you're always going to get a solid performance from him, and it's what you want, I think, especially from a guy like him. And whether it comes, I feel like a lot of people do talk about his set-piece ability, and that is huge.
Yeah,
I mean, it's huge, especially in a World Cup. That is incredible, and especially in those moments, especially for the U.S., but honestly, I've seen him so many times in MLS play for Vancouver track all the way back. I mean, maybe 30, 40 yards to win back a ball and then take it the other direction. His work ethic and his pace, his ability, I think, just to be able to just be a dog, honestly. I like that. I like that from Sebastian Burhalter. I was very happy, especially seeing him get on the World Cup roster. Mm-hmm. I think because of the qualities he brings. Everyone talks about the set pieces he can bring. I want to talk about that side, because that side, to me, is the most important in a World Cup and what he brings. Defensively, I want to see, especially with this setup, how that's going to roll. He is going to have to sit back a little bit more than maybe he's used to. We do see him maybe step up, get more involved in the attack. He's going to have to stay at home a little bit more. So I think I'm curious to see how he handles that, and especially with the fluidity that we always see from Mauricio Pochettino in the side, how that fits into the structure and how everything is going to flow with that midfield.
You brought up Pochettino. What's been the most impressive thing he's done in this tournament for you?
Oh, wow. Well, I mean, other than that, I mean, finding out he's a country music fan with Lainey Wilson and Ella Langley, that's kind of fun.
Luke Combs.
Luke Combs. So this is, we have that in common. I love Luke Combs. I'm not a big country music person, but Luke Combs is the one I listen to pretty consistently.
He picked country artists I was good with.
I think for Mauricio Pochettino, I love that. I think it's so easy, especially I think when we talk about formations, when we talk about how a team plays, for it to get so misconstrued in everything. I think for Mauricio Pochettino, I love that he stood firm, especially with the way that he wants this team to play, and that has never changed. I think especially with the personnel too. A lot of times when we see changes, like we're going to see tonight, everyone thinks, oh, it's completely different. You're going to see a completely different formation. This team's going to play completely different. No. Every player knows exactly what they need to do, because that is what Mauricio Pochettino and his staff have delivered to them every single time. Want you to play good attacking football. It's going to be very fluid. You got to know where your man is. You got to make sure that everything's good, but you want to make sure you're backing your guy. If one guy steps up, you need to fill that spot and make sure you're back there to help him out. You want to make sure you're doing that. You want to keep the intensity. You want to get that pressure. You want to try to win back the ball in a higher position on the field. That way you can create a good turnover and you can create something in the attack. That's what we're going to see tonight no matter what. The personnel on the field does not change that. And I think that's something people get so confused when they see things like this. And it's like, every player on that team knows exactly how this team should play. The identity of everything does not change because different personnel come in. Every person on that 26-man roster knows exactly what Mauricio Pochettino wants for this U.S. men's national team. And we're going to see that again tonight, and I'm excited for it. Mauricio Pochettino has been, I think, a coach for me. I love especially just some of his media availabilities, but even just hearing him talk about the game. I really respect him as a coach, and I'm really enjoying especially what he's been doing here. I mean, it's helped me, especially in me learning more about the game, and I love it. I absolutely love it.
Okay, somebody who usually does the match day mixtape in Atlanta United pregame.
Okay.
No. You only have to come up with one, because whoever's running the USMNT account is on fire tonight.
Okay.
They posted The Place We Belong, referencing Country Roads.
Love it.
They just posted This Must Be the Place, referencing Talking Heads. This must be the place.
Yep.
So what would your third song be on the Match Day mixtape if we have Country Roots and Talking Heads, This Must Be the Place? What's the third song on the Match Day mixtape?
Oh, gosh, you're putting me on the spot. You know, I'm going to give you one that I think does reference a couple of artists that we were talking about just a couple minutes ago.
Okay.
I'm going to give you Ain't No Love in Oklahoma by Luke Combs.
Okay. Why? Why is that on the mixtape?
It's a song I know for me that always, like, I hear it, and it's just like, ooh, yes. Like, this is, like, it's a power anthem. It's something that I, like, will listen to, and I'll be in the car, and, like, don't get me listening to this in the car. I'll go 100 on the highway. That we can't have that. I think it's a song just about, I think, riding the storm, and I think surviving the storm. And I think for this U.S. men's national team, I think especially with everything, you're in unprecedented territory. You won two back-to-back group stage matches. You want to win a third. You want to keep the momentum going. And no matter what happens during this game, no matter what goes on, no matter what noise or anything, you're going to weather the storm, and you're going to get it done, and you're going to win, and you're going to be undefeated in the group, and you're going to move on to the round of 32 undefeated.
All right, my pick for the mixtape would be Luke Combs would be on it, but it would be Bailey Zimmerman and Luke backup plan.
Okay.
Because you are going to some backups tonight, but you're going to want them to do the same things. You're asking for the same style of play with some different personnel. We'll see who steps up to do that. We are going to get into what the bracket's looking like, what this World Cup knockout round is looking like, with our resident bracketologist, John Nelson. He'll be with us on the other side of the break on Atlanta Soccer Tonight, live from the Harvey in Chamblee on 92.9 The Game in the Odyssey app.
Our special pre-match edition of Atlanta Soccer Tonight with Jason Longshore.
Presented by Ford. Visit your local Ford dealer. And brought to you by Michelob Ultra, official beer sponsor of FIFA World Cup 26.
On Sports Radio 92.9, The Game.
Welcome back. Hour number two of Atlanta Soccer Tonight, live from the Harvey in Chamblee. You got an hour to get up here for the United States and Turkey. Game three in the group stage. The U.S. has won the group. Turkey is going home at the conclusion of this match. We're starting to say goodbye to teams in the tournament. We're starting to see teams get slotted in definitively as a group winner or a second place or a maybe third place qualifier. We've got our resident bracketologist up here, John Nelson, to lead us through this. And, John, let's start with the U.S. pathway, because we've been talking about this really for the last week since the Australia game. The way things are starting to fall for the U.S., it has gotten a little cloudier, but you might have a generational opportunity to get to a quarterfinal, which the U.S. hasn't done since 2002. It's looking like Bosnia and Herzegovina in the round of 32, correct? Mm-hmm.
Yep. Looks like Bosnia and Herzegovina. It is D1 and B3. Bingo. And right now,
well, it's not guaranteed it's B3, yeah, but as it's it looking stands that way. Because this is the thing that's complicated with the third places, is FIFA has a document that I think is the 458 different permutations.
Option 47 is the one that's,
I don't know,
one that's screwy?
Maybe, but it's like 400 plus permutations of which 8 of 12 third place teams get in as to who goes where.
Yep.
But by most of the very intelligent people breaking this down, it's going to be Bosnia and Herzegovina. What have you seen from them in the tournament?
Biggest thing for me with Bosnia and Herzegovina is that Edin Dzeko, at the age of 40, can still give you quality minutes, especially off of set pieces. They've been very dangerous off of set pieces and in transition. So if you can match Dzeko's height defensively, then you should be okay. There's a player that we have seen at SDH through MLS Next Pro from his time with New England Revolution 2, and we knew how talented Esmer Bayraktarevic has been.
Yeah.
And we saw what he could do on the Next Pro level. We've seen what he's been able to do at the MLS level. Mm-hmm. He's been coming off the bench for Bosnia and Herzegovina. So if they're looking for that extra push, say in the final 20 minutes or so, you bring in the Milwaukee Messi in quotation marks. That's the nickname they've given him. I didn't give it to him. You can't sit there and jump on me for this
one. I'm not jumping on you for this one. I'm jumping on the people who gave him that nickname. I feel bad for him for getting that nickname.
But the biggest thing is the experience that you have with Edin Dzeko and set pieces that can be very dangerous for Bosnia and Herzegovina if they can pin you in defensively.
So what gets interesting is, and you don't want to look at in a World Cup, but that's what we do. We have to fill some time somehow, right?
Yeah.
The U.S. would be favored against Bosnia and Herzegovina, I don't think by a crazy margin. They would be a team comparable to what they face in the group with a Paraguay, with an Australia, with a Turkey. Like, they're around that kind of ranking.
Yep.
So the U.S. would be favored. If they get through that, which they've only won one knockout game in history, they would go into the round of 16, and as the bracket currently stands, they would play the winner of Egypt and South Korea, which is a very fascinating game. But here's the thing about Group G. It's the Group G winners that go in. Everybody thought this was going to be Belgium.
Mm-hmm.
Belgium has not really been impressive in this tournament so far. They play New Zealand tomorrow night. Egypt plays Iran tomorrow night in Seattle. This group feels like it could go any which way.
And can we use the hashtag group of chaos?
I think so.
And not knowing where this one could go, you could have Egypt go from 4-7. It could be 4, 5, or 7 with Egypt. With Iran, you could have them work their way from 3-5. You could have, depending on, draw or win.
Egypt can't get caught if they win.
Right. That puts them at 7. Right now they are 2 points ahead of Iran and Belgium, 4 points, 2 points, and 2 points. New Zealand right now at 1 point. They would need to win, and then they're 4 points, and then they're they're the north end of all right. of the discussion, and they stay away from the map.
And if that happens, Belgium is out,
mm-hmm.
likely.
Yeah.
That's where it gets really weird here, because Belgium was the seeded team. It is very interesting that right now they are in a third-place spot with 2 points, one goal scored. They're playing New Zealand. Like, New Zealand has been better than we expected in this tournament so far. They've scored 3 goals, which is second in the group. They've conceded 5, which is the worst in the group.
And you're looking at a talent like Chris Wood that has been at the front to navigate that offense for New Zealand.
Elijah just had 2 goals in their first game.
Yeah. So Belgium, to me, has just been the big question mark. It's like, yeah. You sit there and you're asking yourself, like Ross and Friends, why?
Oh, wow.
And Belgium, you wonder what the heck happened here with Belgium right now, third in the group, and they're right now a part of the map, and that's not what you want heading into match day 3 here at a Group G. So we're going to have to make sure that you have two devices on the Group G games at the same time.
Yeah, tomorrow night's really important for the U.S. because that could look at who you're getting in the round of 16 if you get past Bosnia and Herzegovina as expected in the round of 32. Now, the other side of the bracket, when you start looking at the quarterfinals, you're probably looking at the winner of Spain and Portugal, which could be a round of 16 game, which, if you know your geography, they border one another.
Yes.
They don't really like each other very much.
No.
They speak different languages, and they're right next to each other. That would be a spicy round of 16 match. And then the winner would, if the U.S. gets through to that point, play the U.S. in a quarterfinal after going through that gauntlet.
Well, and then as it stands, like the three-letter phrase here in this segment, it stands.
We have a few that are booked.
Right, we do. We'll get to those in a sec. But as it stands right now, if you're looking at Portugal would be going up against Ghana. And so you have the Ghanaian defense going up against Portugal, which to me is an interesting clash that you could possibly have as it stands right now in that opening round in that mini bracket.
So now, actually, and I think we've had this updated, the best site that we have found that does all the math in the background so we don't lose our minds is the BBC.
Yes.
And they have actually updated it to the U.S. playing Bosnia and Herzegovina, not as it stands. That one is locked, and that could be with the third-place results that we just got locked here in the last set of matches. So the games that we know, and this is from the BBC, that are locked in.
Yep.
South Africa and Canada, that will be the only game on Sunday. 2 second-place teams playing in the Bay Area, if I'm not mistaken.
Correct.
No, I think they're in Los Angeles, sorry, because Canada was complaining so much. I know it's not in Canada.
Yes.
But it's in California. They'll play South Africa, which was unexpected, but that's going to be an interesting match. We know that the winner of that will play the winner of the Netherlands and Morocco. That is a spicy match. You were watching the Dutch today. They played Tunisia. little more complicated than we thought it was going to be.
Yeah, you get two goals in the first 7 minutes, and you're thinking that Tunisia is going to be going down the path that they've been going down. Doesn't matter who has been the coach, whether it was Sabri or whether it was Evrenar. Giving up 9 goals in your first 2 matches, you figured that it was just going to be a downward spiral. And it just seemed like to me in this one, they took the pedal off the gas. And there were times where you'd look up and you had just a bunch of, you know, kickabout passing drills and improving your passing percentage around the top of the circle. And I think that, honestly, you could have done a lot more damage in this. And I think that you probably could have been a lot more confident going into the knockouts. But literally, it's like you just pulled the pedal off the gas in this one. And I don't know if when you do something like that, are you saving yourself in this matchup, or are you sitting there and does doubt creep into your head because you could have done a lot more and you didn't, and then you're going into this knockout game? And so I have questions if I'm a fan of the Dutch going into the first round of the knockouts, just because of how you behaved from minute 8 to minute 90.
How do you feel about 9 changes to the U.S. lineup tonight then?
I figured that it was going to be some change. I didn't know it was going to be 9. For me, you were going to try to take care of the yellow cards.
Yeah, you had to do that.
And you were going to try. And my biggest question was going to be what to do about Christian Pulisic. And is he in a position where, in your mind, was he good enough to start and give you 45? Do you have him on the bench? Do you bring in, just turn the engine over and give me 20 just so I can see how it is?
That's
so the physios have some, you know, ground material that they can play with. So you're giving a lot of the players on this roster that have earned a lot of time. It wouldn't surprise me, frankly, if Chris Brady comes in for the second 45 for Matt Turner in this one.
Just to
get those kinds of minutes and get that kind of experience here at the end of the group stage, like we saw with Memo Ochoa last night, to make sure that folks get their minute and they get to have their experience. The number is a bit jarring, but it doesn't necessarily surprise me when it comes to the United States.
The other game that we know is locked right now with the results that just went final a little bit ago, Japan and Brazil. Really looking forward to that one. And then as it stands right now, the rest of the bracket, so we'll go from the top down. As it stands, Germany, as the E winners, would play a third-place team, and right now that is Paraguay. Now, Paraguay and Australia play tonight, same time as the U.S. match. Australia has the goal differential advantage. So a draw, Australia then comes in second, Paraguay goes in third, and they would go in with 4 points. A draw, both teams go through, but they go in as second and third. That's already locked. Australia right now, as the second-place team in that group, they would go into a match with the second-place team from Group G, which we talked about earlier, is Belgium and Iran and Egypt. Australia right now would play Iran.
Mm-hmm.
If you are looking at this, and I don't think you're going to get the benefit of it, but if you're Paraguay, for example,
right,
and you could come in and be safe and just take your draw and not have to worry about things, and you know you're going to the knockout round, but you got to go play Germany.
Mm-hmm.
Or go chase it. Try to win. If you lose, you're then on 3 points, and maybe the math changes then. We don't know, because remember, Paraguay lost to the U.S. 4-1. That was a big loss. They won 1-0. So they're not in a great goal differential spot. You get into the Scotland scenario.
Yes.
Of if Paraguay says, we don't want to play Germany, we're going to go for this, and then you get hit the other way, then you could fall behind Scotland in that third-place table. What would you do if you're Gustavo Alfaro?
Oh, if I'm Gustavo Alfaro, I'm making sure that I get into the knockouts.
Okay. You're going to play it safe.
I'm going to play it safe. And because you also have to look below Scotland. Because if Cabo Verde gets a result, they get 1 point right now, they would be ahead of you in goal difference. Because right now they're at the 0. You assume that if they get a result, it's a draw, then there's not going to be any change in goal difference if math takes hold. So then Cabo Verde goes into match day last at a 0. If it's a draw, they get 3 points. So they're at a 0, so they would technically would be 4th and knock everybody down a slot, and that would knock Scotland out, period. But that would put Paraguay as 8. DR Congo, if they win – Mm-hmm. If DR Congo Saturday at Atlanta Stadium knocks off Uzbekistan, mm-hmm. DR Congo goes to 4 points, and then you would assume that at zero they would be the one, the two, or the three.
If DR Congo wins, they go to four,
right.
So they're in.
Right, and then that once again that slides Paraguay down again. So you've got to try to hedge your bet here, knowing that Cabo Verde's behind you and knowing that DR Congo is behind you. I'm not worried about Scotland because Scotland's done. They're in the barn at 3 points. Yep. I'm looking at those folks that have a match to go and looking over my shoulder at what I'm anticipating them to do to protect my own hide to get into the knockouts.
That's interesting. There's a lot to look at. I think DR Congo does have to deal with an Uzbekistan team that if they win and win by a couple, then you start to get into a conversation. It's going to be hard for them to make up the goal differential, but crazier things have happened. Cabo Verde, they're playing Saudi Arabia, who could win and jump in. So things could get really interesting as we get into these third-place teams. But Paraguay with four would be fine. With three, if they lose, they might not be fine.
No. And I am intrigued to see who the modern-day warrior is going to be in match day three for these matchups coming up.
It's going to be tricky. Bunch of games the rest of the way. So tonight, then tomorrow, then Saturday. Then we get into the knockout round. Coming up on the other side of the break, we'll get Jarrett Smith back up here, get his takes on the U.S. men's national team as the U.S. gets ready to play Turkey in Game 3, trying to do something that no U.S. men's national team has ever done at a World Cup, which is win three straight group stage matches. Can this group do it? We'll find out together. More Atlanta soccer tonight on the other side of the break on 92.9 The Game and the Odyssey app.
Special pre-match edition of Atlanta Soccer Tonight with Jason Longshore.
Presented by Ford. Visit your local Ford dealer. And brought to you by Michelob Ultra, official beer sponsor of FIFA World Cup 26.
Sports Radio 92.9, The Game.
Welcome back to the Harvey in Chamblee. Big thank you to Ford and Michelob Ultra for having us out here for the U.S. men's national team and Turkey, game three in the group stage. Special Atlanta soccer tonight. We're going to talk U.S. We're going to talk about some other things that have happened around the group. Jarrett Smith back up here with me riding shotgun. I've got some more quotes from Sebastian Becasese, Ecuador. The quote from El Grafico, which El Grafico is, we don't really have an equivalent for this in the United States in terms of a sports paper.
We don't really have an equivalent is a really common thing to say about
when we talk about Argentina and CONMEBOL in general. Yes, this is true. El Grafico is based out of Argentina. They called Becasese Ecuador's angel of solitude in New Jersey. That's a headline right there. First off, he quoted
he quoted
the famous Indio Solari, who is an Argentine rock legend who passed away right on the eve of the tournament, called for unity in the country like San Martin and Bolivar. And closed his press conference with a phrase in English that says, "I imagine the Ecuadorian people embracing and sharing a good beer." That's my guy right there.
That is a coach and a poet laureate and a humanitarian all rolled into one.
Can we get him on the long-term like board for Atlanta United at some point? The long-term list. He's a very young guy.
You act like he's not already there for me.
I hope he's on the list.
He's already been there for me.
I might have to go write it down. He might be coming here with Ecuador to play England. That is still a possibility in the bracket right now.
This with also an apprentice of Jorge Sampaoli, in case you need more credentials.
And Marcelo Bielsa. He went down the Sampaoli road from Bielsa, which is even more crazed and full of lunatics. But he has survived it, and he's got Ecuador into the knockout round of this World Cup by beating Germany today. And right now they're on a collision course with England if things fall their way. Scotland's still in right now. They're still going to Mexico City. We'll see. We know what the U.S. is doing. It has been made, I think, official at this point as the third-place teams are starting to get solidified. U.S. and Bosnia and Herzegovina on Wednesday night at 8 o'clock. Stay tuned. You're going to first want to make sure you get to wherever you're getting to early because everything will be full. There will be many, many public parties and viewing parties and things. We will be live ahead of the match on Wednesday from 6 to 8. Location TBD. So just stay tuned on that part. But now that we know it's Bosnia and Herzegovina, they're not an easy opponent. They knocked out Italy, but they're a game that I think the U.S. could handle.
I think so as well. They had a weird tournament to this point, Jason, in that they kind of left it to the last day when they took care of business, but they had a weird setup in their group.
Yep.
And like, let's go back and look. So they had to go through. They had Switzerland, Canada, and Qatar to go through, and kind of had, like, you have the first game with Canada where you get the draw, and then, you know, then you get the Switzerland game, and then you manage to take care of business today.
It is official now,
okay,
according
official.
To FIFA.
Okay,
Stephen
cool.
Goff has just said it. Our friends at the BBC have been on it. They've had that as official for a few minutes now. USA, Bosnia-Herzegovina in Santa Clara, July 1st, which is next Wednesday, at 8 o'clock Eastern time.
It's going to be a tricky matchup. I don't want to condense a team down to just, like, cliches, Jason, but to say that, like, they're tough, scrappy, they're mentally difficult to deal with. They proved that with Italy, like an Italy team that, whether they should have felt that way or not, felt like they belonged. And then Bosnia went in there and had to fight for 120 minutes to get there. And left it to the end of the day and took care of business. And look, once you get out of the group stage into the knockout rounds, it's such a different animal where you want to get it done in 90 minutes.
Mm-hmm.
You don't need to, but you want to, especially when you are that team that is favored. You want to get it done in 90 minutes, and the longer it hangs in the air in the unknown, the longer and the stronger the feeling gets for that underdog that, hey, we can pull this off. We can do this. You don't want to have them feeling that feeling.
Mm-mm. We've talked about the U.S. men's national team lineup tonight a little bit. And it's kind of a weird one because the result doesn't matter, but I think there are some players who can impact maybe where they stand on the depth chart, where they stand in terms of, I need to break the emergency glass. Who am I calling on? The starting lineup, the way that I expect it to look, Matt Turner in goal, three center backs, Austin Trusty, Mark McKenzie, Miles Robinson. I think Joe Scally will be the left wing back, Tim Weah the right wing back. Sebastian Berhalter as the deepest lying midfielder. I think he'll be joined by Weston McKennie. It'll be Brendan Aaronson and Gio Reyna in front of them in that box midfield, and Ricardo Pepi up top. I know we've called this grouping a lot of different things formationally. You and I have dug into kind of the nuts and bolts of these things over the years. Three center backs, I think, is one key element here we got to talk about. And with Trusty, with Miles Robinson, and with Mark McKenzie, that's three very orthodox kind of center backs. A little bit different than when Alex Freeman has started.
Yeah, it feels like a game for a lot of guys to say, hey, I'm not saying you're going to earn a starting spot with this game, but you're
right.
Going to earn my trust
yeah.
when the going gets tough. And you're going to have to show me that you can perform in this system the way I want you to, because you might not traditionally fit in. Like you said, there's not the Alex Freeman archetype in there. Alex Freeman is a bit of a wild card.
One of one.
Yeah, man. The kid went through the cursus honorum. Like, I don't know if we have stressed that enough, Jason.
Do we need to find more NFL wide receiver sons to play center back / fullback for the national team?
It's possible, but I don't know if we stress enough that this kid went through the cursus honorum. He went through a club academy,
yep.
played with the second team,
yep.
played with the first team,
yep.
got his move to Europe,
yep.
got his chance with the national team. He started from the where you dream about it happening. This is the kind of story that I think you wanted to see with U.S. soccer, is someone starting getting that shot with an MLS academy and working their way up and then becoming not just a player who contributes. Jason, he's a one of one, like you said. Like, he's such a unique player. But now you're asked to back to the point, you're asking these guys, I need you to play not just your game. I need you to show me that you're flexible. You can play my game. And that I can call on you when it gets a little hairy in a knockout round.
It's funny you mentioned that with Alex Freeman and what he went through. 2 years ago on this day, he was preparing to start for Orlando City B against Atlanta United 2 in MLS Next Pro. He had an assist in that game. I remember being like, wow, this guy's he's ready for MLS now. And he was more of a right back at that time. He's turned into this hybrid. that we've seen. Atlanta United has used it. We've seen a lot of teams use it when you go to three center backs, but one of them is the guy who can step up, sometimes up into the midfield, sometimes out as more of a fullback. Freeman gives you that. So you don't have that tonight. Joe Scally and Tim Weah are your wingbacks. Tim Weah is a fascinating player to me in this national team because I think in a normal 4-3-3 as a winger, I really like him. In this 3-4-2-1 kind of hybrid shape, I don't know if there's really a formation or a position for him outside of that wingback role. I think your starting 11 is locked in, but we know things happen in a World Cup. What does Tim Weah have kind of on the line tonight in terms of his World Cup future with this group?
For me, it's the it factor. It is the what can you do? Because we've seen Tim Weah in different stretches of his career, which Tim Weah is not that old, but it feels like he's been doing this for a long time. But he has at times shown that it factor. And look, some of these games are going to go into the tactics-free zone. And you know what I need when the game goes into the tactics-free zone? It's somebody who can win a 1v1. It's someone who can drive on the dribble and make something happen, who can lay a ball off and keep making the smart run or the unselfish run to free up somebody else. He needs to show tonight, and I think he's capable of it, of being that dynamic, let's pull a throwback term, a little mala leche.
Yeah. You need a little of that sometimes. You need to shake things up a bit.
Yeah, you need that guy who just where almost you're wondering, like, does this fit? But it kind of feels a little bit out of sync from everything else. But then you got a guy who can pop up in different spots. And you're already going to be asking because, like you talked about, you don't have Alex Freeman in there. Someone's going to have to step and unbalance that Turkey defense. So when it gets unbalanced, who takes advantage of that opportunity? It might be Tim Weah.
Let's go total deep dive then, and we'll go to something that Luis Enrique talked about with PSG, and he's talked about how the game has kind of evolved here lately into getting to be more unpredictable. And Luis Enrique is somebody that in his documentary, which I recommend to everybody to watch if you want to get into the mind of a brilliant coach, he talked about his obsession with controlling a game in that. But now he's starting to realize the way the game is going. I think we're seeing it in this World Cup. It's harder and harder to really, truly control a match. Yeah. A lot of times when you control a match, you're not actually making something happen. The game now feels more like controlling where moments happen. It feels more field position than control of, like, possession purely.
That feels, to your point, what England has done at times.
Yep.
They've controlled the match but not generated the moments. Like, yeah, they might be minimizing the opportunities going the other way, but the game kind of gets into this stalemate, and for a lot of teams, they're going to be just absolutely fine with that.
Yep, teams that don't have as much talent, absolutely, that's what they're going to do. And when you don't have a Cole Palmer or a Phil Foden who are coming off of poor club seasons, you don't have the mala leche, the guy who can do something different, be the unpredictable element. Talk about this for the U.S. I think you have an unpredictable element who is getting the start tonight, and I didn't think he was going to be on this roster. I didn't think he deserved to be. He showed that he absolutely did game one with one of the goals of the tournament, Gio Reyna. This feels like a big opportunity for him to show Mauricio Pochettino that if you need something late in a game and you're chasing it, you can count on me.
Yeah, and to your point, it is that unpredictability. You know, we just talked about a son of an NFL wide receiver. Mm-hmm. Go back to one of the weirdest wide receivers from the 2000s, and Brandon Marshall, who was always this guy that fascinated me because he was a guy who did the inverse of what you expected. He would drive through tackles when you thought he should go down. He would go down or go out of bounds when you thought he was going to drive through tackles. He did the opposite of every time of what you expected. And Reyna can be that guy. Yep. And I would love, and I get it, you're not playing like a traditional 4-2-3-1. Formation's overrated. Formations are what they are.
Yep.
Throw it all aside for a minute. If it gets weird in a game, as someone who was critical of him being a part of this roster, I didn't think he had shown enough with the club work to be a part of this roster, and he has absolutely proven me wrong, which is exactly what he should do. His goal should have been, don't worry about what everyone's saying. Go out there and prove people wrong, and that's what he's been doing. Be that guy. You know what? Be that Carlos Heel. Be that guy who pops up find spots when the game gets stretched and the game gets really loose and there's tons of space. Go find that space, and I think he can be that guy. Show me that tonight, especially if the game gets stretched tonight, and maybe you create a game like that. Maybe you, as a manager, you say, hey, we're going to, if we can stretch this game out, we will. Let's create some unique situations for ourselves if we can. Now, show me you can pop up in those dangerous spaces and float and make them track you.
The U.S. men's national team is what's on tap. It's brought to you by Michelob Ultra, the official beer sponsor of FIFA World Cup 26. Jarrett Smith, tell me which player you think will be the most important for the U.S. tonight.
Give me Sebastian Burhalter.
Okay.
The Holding Midfielder Appreciation Society is always holding court, and we will always give respect to our holding midfielders. Sebastian Burhalter, scrappy, but can also get forward at times if he picks his spots. If he's smart, he can show something to be part of this fixture going forward into the knockouts.
Yeah, I think he becomes important as a first midfielder off the bench. All right, one more segment, the 3-4-3 on the other side. We'll talk about what you're going to see with the U.S. men's national team in Turkey and what you're going to see in the rest of the World Cup group stage after the break on 92.9 The Game and the Odyssey app.
Back to more Jason Longshore.
It's our pre-match edition of Atlanta Soccer Tonight.
Presented by Ford. Visit your local Ford dealer. And brought to you by Michelob Ultra, official beer sponsor of FIFA World Cup 26.
On Sports Radio 92.9 The Game.
Final segment of Atlanta Soccer Tonight. Live from the Harvey in Chamblee. It's time for the 3-4-3. It's brought to you by Ford. Visit your local Ford dealer. We're about 18 minutes away from kickoff between the United States and Turkey. Let's talk about three players to watch tonight, four headlines from around the tournament, and three things that are making me smile about this World Cup. Number one on the players to watch, been referenced a couple times tonight, Sebastian Burhalter. He is stepping into the holding midfield role. I think he will be the closest replacement that you have for Tyler Adams. He'll sit the deepest in this midfield. He's played 61 minutes across two games as a substitute. This is his biggest test, and the reason why is Tyler Adams has been injury-prone in his career. He has been a little bit of a card magnet in his career. That's why he's going to sit today on a yellow card. You don't want to pick up another one and be suspended for the round of 32. Sebastian Burhalter has an opportunity here to really solidify his role in this U.S. men's national team. We'll see if he can deliver a strong performance tonight. Another player to watch for the U.S., Miles Robinson. And we talked about this earlier with Madison Cruz. When you look at this back line, we were wondering what the depth chart looked like at center back. Chris Richards is out due to that yellow card. You don't want to pick up another one due to the potential suspension. Tim Ream is out, so he can get a little bit of rest. 38 years old. He deserves it. He's been very good in this tournament. So Mark McKenzie, Austin Trusty, and Miles Robinson, all three of your other center backs, get games here. For Miles, a player that we know very well from his time here in Atlanta, a player that has went to Cincinnati and has, I don't want to say, like, stagnated is not fair. I think he has really not been quite the same since he had the Achilles injury back here in 2022. I think Miles Robinson, when you look at his opportunity tonight, remember the two pre-tournament friendlies. He struggled. He made mistakes. That's why we haven't seen him up to now. A good performance tonight can get him more time when it matters in games if he is called upon, maybe to see a game out, maybe if there's an injury, maybe if there's a suspension. I think it's a big night for Miles Robinson tonight. On the other side of things for Turkey, Kenan Yildiz, he is a forward at Juventus. He's 20 years old. He's one of the most technically gifted players in this tournament. He hasn't scored yet. Nobody from Turkey has. He only needs one moment, and it might be one of those that Yildiz, you see him tonight if he plays well, and you're like, okay, Turkey might be back here in 4 years, and Yildiz might be the one who carries them here. Teammate with Weston McKennie at Juve. Former teammate of Tim Weah at Juventus as well. Four headlines from around the tournament. Ecuador, they beat Germany 2-1. Gonzalo Plata, he took a boot to the head on Germany's controversial first-minute opener, which could have been brought back. It wasn't. There was some controversy there. It ultimately didn't matter. Plata scored the winner in the 77th minute. Ecuador reached the knockouts for the first time in 20 years. They came into this game with no goals scored. They leave getting a win over Germany and moving on to the knockout round. Second headline, Cote d'Ivoire. They beat Curaçao 2-0. A Nicolas Pepe brace. First time in Ivory Coast's World Cup history that they have made the knockout stage. That is a crazy stat. You think back to Didier Drogba. You think back to Yaya Toure. You think back to all the legends that have worn the Cote d'Ivoire jersey. They didn't get to a knockout game. This generation has gotten Cote d'Ivoire to a knockout game. Talked about it over the last couple of days. I feel like this tournament has really been Africa's tournament. South Africa getting into a knockout round for the first time. Ivory Coast getting into the knockout round for the first time. Egypt potentially going to win their group. So many different great stories out of Africa. We'll see if Algeria can pull something off in their final group stage game tomorrow. Scotland is in the headlines, and the 3-0 loss to Brazil, we talked about it last night. It's really frustrating that this happened. Steve Clarke, I think, made some big, big mistakes with this team in the last two games. Two early goals conceded to Morocco, to Brazil. And then last night, once it got to 3-0, he had to take chances and go for it, and he did not. The fact that he did not means he needs a lot of help to get in to the knockout stage for the first time ever for Scotland. They were coming into the day a 42% chance to get there. It could happen. The math is not looking great for them. They are the last third-place team in right now with Cabo Verde and with DR Congo and with Belgium. All behind them, and Senegal, actually all four teams behind them, are favorites to win their final game. It doesn't look good. It doesn't look good for Scotland. They need Australia to come up big for them. They need Algeria to lose by a couple of goals. They could use Croatia losing by a couple of goals. Scotland needs a lot of help for the Tartan Army to extend their stay in the United States. Number four on the headlines, the World Cup attendance record broken today for this tournament. The crowd at MetLife Stadium for Ecuador and Germany pushed local tournament attendance to 3,605,357. That surpasses the record set across 52 matches at the 1994 World Cup. This tournament hit that mark in 56 games. You still have about not quite 50 more to go. This is the biggest World Cup ever. It's not even close. The attendance rate is on a just behind a record pace. I think you've got a few stadiums that are a little bit smaller than the ones you had in World Cup 1994. But for all the talk about what are the crowds going to look like for this World Cup, there's a lot of people who probably need to delete some tweets and delete some articles. Maybe that's already happened. There's some other people who could put their hand up and say, my bad. Usually that doesn't happen, but you know how this goes. This tournament has been amazing so far, and the attendance has been amazing so far, and I'm sure that it's only going to grow once we get into some of these knockout games. All right, three things that make me smile besides the attendance. Sebastian Bekisese. Talked about him a little bit in the last segment with Jarrett Smith. He also said one of his statements in his press conference. He was very emotional. If you haven't seen the video, go watch it. I mean, he immediately ran to family in the stands. There's a shot of him. Looks like he is somehow hugging 20 people all at once. Sebastian Bekisese, when he was asked about the significance of this for him, because he said that if they don't get out of the knockout, if they don't get into the knockout games, they don't get out of the group stage, he probably doesn't deserve to continue in the job. He said, look, the significance of this is not for me. It's for the people of Ecuador. That's the World Cup. That's why all of this matters. Sebastian Bekisese gets that. Number two on things that make me smile, Cote d'Ivoire. They got knocked out of the tournament on a 93rd-minute goal in 2014. After that, they had two failed qualification cycles. We haven't seen Cote d'Ivoire here in 12 years. This group, who was not expected to make the run that they're making, this group is going to get them to a knockout round for the first time in country history. Just amazing for Cote d'Ivoire to be able to do this. And this is a team that you don't really want to see in the knockouts. Right now, they would play Norway. That could move around a little bit. Norway and France play on the last day of the group stage. If the Vikings can deal up an upset to Dictator Mbappe, if you haven't seen the memes, I highly recommend them. Really looking forward to France and Norway. If that goes as expected, you're looking at Cote d'Ivoire and Norway in the round of 32, which is a must-watch game. The third thing that makes me smile, we talked about it earlier, country roads. The fact that a FIFA official who gets what works in stadiums in this country felt the moment after the U.S. win in Seattle, sent the text, the button was hit, and now Country Roads might end up being the soundtrack, not just of the U.S. team's run, but the whole World Cup. That's what's so cool about these tournaments. Songs become defining things. Teams become defining things. Star players, breakout players, they become what defines the tournament. The U.S. men's national team has defined this tournament right now. This is an opportunity to do something that has never happened in history, to go win all three of your group games in a World Cup. This is a program that has always had a lot of promise. This is a program that has at times tripped over its own feet, has kicked itself in the shin. But this is a program that has all the opportunity in the world for this summer to be the start of something magical for soccer in this country. There's a lot of talent in this team, even with the rotated lineup. They play Turkey, a kickoff coming up just around the corner. You can watch on Telemundo. You can watch on Fox. You can watch on the streaming services as well. A big game, even if it doesn't matter for the results, it matters for the momentum. It matters for some of these individual players. It matters for Weston McKennie leading the team out as captain. It matters for the fans in the stands in Los Angeles for this one. And it matters to us here on Atlanta Soccer Tonight. Big thank you to Madison Cruz, to John Nelson, to Jarrett Smith for hanging out with me. Big thank you to everybody here at the Harvey in Chamblee. A great crowd getting ready for a big match for the USMNT. We'll be talking about it tomorrow night. I'm back at 10 p.m. for another AST tomorrow. We'll have some stoppage time on the 92.9 YouTube page. Y'all have a good rest of your night. Go, go, USA, and adios, everybody.